Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety
today,
talk show,
and giving
whose only
all the power to the
power you.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to part three of the seven-part series of the Enough campaign here on the Yvonne Pierre Show. I wanted to point out, too, that the campaign, we're primarily focusing on the special needs community, but this information is for everyone. So I encourage you, whether you have a child with special needs or not, to pass on this information. Enough, that's spelled E-N-U-F, is an online anti-bullying campaign that will encourage families to promote positivity in their homes and families. And the mission for this campaign is to get to the root of what is causing bullying, providing, and we want to also provide parents with information and resources and to get the conversation started. If you missed part one and two of the Enough series, I encourage you to visit my Blog Talk Radio page, and that's blogtalkradio.com/YPierre, and that's YPIERRE, to take a listen to them on demand. Part one is the bully's perspective with Thomas Gagliano, and part two, the effects of bullying with Tamara Hill. These guests share some really great information, and I encourage you, as I always will, to please share this information with your Facebook and Twitter friends and also any other social networks you're on. You just never know who might need this information. You know, you may have a friend who is going through this and need that information, so I encourage you to please share it. For more information about the campaign, please visit Enough, and that's E-N-U-F dot, and there's no www, just type in Enough, E-N-U-F dot esilentvoices.com, take the pledge, and please pass on the information. Okay, today's episode is part three of the Enough series, and we will be discussing building your child's self-esteem with our special guest, Tara Kennedy Klein, an Allentown Parenting Examiner, certified dream coach, and the owner of TK's Toy Box. She's also a radio host, and her show is Stop Raising Einstein, and she's also the author of Stop Raising Einstein, Discover the Unique Brilliance in Your Child and You, and an in-demand speaker and workshop presenter. Tara is truly dedicated to helping people find their unique brilliance as well as building them to set, stretch for, and reach for their highest goals, all while being present in their families. And I would like to welcome Tara.
Hi, Yvonne. How are you?
I am good, and you?
I am doing great. My kids are home from school today, so
oh, wow.
It's insane. Yeah, we have Easter break here in PA, so it's a little nuts, but
okay, yeah, ours don't get out to the second week of April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're taking a late spring break, I assume. As I mentioned in the introduction, your radio show and also your book is entitled Stop Raising Einstein. But I wanted to ask, as far as the title for the book, where did tell us a little bit about Stop Raising Einstein and also what inspired this title?
Well, the title was inspired by a series of events when we discovered that my youngest son, has Asperger's syndrome. And
mm-hmm.
he was diagnosed in second grade. We got a lot of feedback from the professional community that was along the lines of, he's going to be really interested in science and math, and you should probably keep him interested in engineering, and, you know, those are the kind of fields that these kids go into. So we started to push him in that direction. You know, they said he's got the IQ of an Einstein. That's what they told us. His IQ is 145. And they said he's really, really smart, and this is what he's going to want to go into. And what we found was he doesn't like science and math. You know, he really is more into music, and, you know, he likes playing on the computer and developing things on the computer, creating games on the computer. His intelligence allows him to create, but he's not linear like they told us that he would be. He's very abrupt and he's very honest to a fault, actually. But
yeah.
We realized that we weren't raising an Einstein. And what we found was, when we would go to these support groups for children on the autism spectrum and high-functioning children, is that people were trying to raise these kids in a cookie-cutter mold, and they were really unhappy.
Yeah.
And so I developed, you mentioned that I'm a certified dream coach. So what I did was I developed a system of communicating and journaling with my kids every night before bed that was in alignment with the same process that I was taking my coaching clients through. And what it allowed me to do was really get to know my kids on a really intimate level, which was something that I had never done before. I was taking perfect strangers through the process and never did it for my own kids. And what I discovered was that there's uniquely brilliant things about all of us that we can find out when they're kids. You know, we always want to find out what our purpose in life is, right? As adults, we go to these seminars and try to find out what our purpose is. But the thing that's cool is, if we start when they're little, there's so much that we can learn about them that makes discipline and relationships and homework and all of these things really, really easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that you, I'm glad you brought that up. I want to go back for a second as far as raising Einstein, because I read that, and I just wanted to point out, not really a question or anything, but I just wanted to point out that Einstein, they believe that he had the autism spectrum as well.
Yes. Yeah, and can you imagine what the world would have lost if we had medicated him?
Yeah. So it connected when you were saying that, you know, when your son being on the autism spectrum, and they assumed that he would love the same things that Einstein loved because he was on the autism spectrum
mm-hmm.
as well.
Exactly.
And they do. We do seem to put, you know, children with special needs. My son has Down syndrome, and they do seem to base everything off of what, you know, they see other kids with Down syndrome go through, their challenges. But they're all unique. They all have different challenges. They all have different talents and skills. So I really love the title.
Thank you.
And I like, too, that you were saying, you know, as a coach, you spent a lot of time, you know, finding out what, you know, the dreams and getting more in tune with other people. But, you know, and we do tend to not do that with our own children.
That's true.
So what inspired you, and I think you already kind of touched on it, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, when our son was going through the IEP process in school, he was really struggling, and it was one of those things where he was getting pink slips every day for doing, you know, different behaviors. Alex smacked a kid in line today, or Alex, you know, whatever. He, you know, wouldn't complete his coloring assignment, or he refused to go out to recess. So at the end of the school year, I decided to take them through this Dream Coach journaling process. So every night for 3 months during summer break, I would journal with them about different things like accountability and integrity and setting intentions and goals and philanthropy and, you know, living our dream life and things that we normally don't have conversations with our kids about. And when I got back to the school system in September, they called an IEP meeting, which is an individualized educational program, which kids with special needs are typically put on IEPs to help them, mm-hmm. you know, with school. So we were called into this IEP meeting, and the administrator sat there and said, "We think we can take him off the IEP. We don't believe that he needs it anymore." And I was like, "Wow, that's great, but what did you do?" And they said, "Well, we didn't do anything. We were hoping you could tell us what you did." So through conversations about, you know, when the light bulb finally went on, right? Through conversations about what we had done and this process that we had taken, they said, "You really should share that with other people, should share that with other parents of special needs kids, because it's really important." And what I realized was it's not only important for special needs families, it's important for all families to get to know each other. Yeah. And so that's where, you know, we just basically took the process and the questions and all of that that we had journaled about for 3 months and put it into a book.
Mm.
So that's
glad you did. I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
No, seriously, I'm glad you did. There are a lot of reasons, as you said, you know, as far as building self-esteem and getting to know our children and all that. And it's important for our children, but it's also important for all people to build a stronger self-esteem. Share with us the importance of self-esteem and how it relates to bullying.
Well, what I found very early on with my kids was if they had a strong foundation in who they are,
uh-huh.
and their strengths and, you know, what they, the gifts that they bring to the world, their belief systems, their, you know, their level of integrity, when those things, when that foundation is unshakable, nothing that another person can say or do to you is going to affect you in the same way.
Yeah.
And when we also raise our children to be understanding and emotionally intelligent about other people and their situations in the world, empathy takes us a long, long way.
Uh-huh.
So when my kids would come home and say, particularly my older son who was in a lot of sports, when he would come home and talk about the kids that were picking on him on the field or the kids that, you know, were constantly berating him, the first thing that I would go through is to say to him, "Why do you think that child singled you out in that way? What is it that you do so well that you feel that they might want to cut you down for it?" And instead of saying, you know, "What are you doing wrong?" he would say, "Well, you know, I'm a really good batter, and I'm really strong, and I'm really fast. And, you know, maybe he's not so strong, and maybe he's not so fast, and maybe he doesn't hit the ball as often as I do." And to be able to take it from that perspective, to say, "These are the things that make me so strong that this other person wants to cut me down," puts them in a different place of relating to that person. And then we can say, "We don't know what that guy's going through. You know, we don't know where he's coming from or what he's dealing with, but maybe to just turn around and say, dude, look, if you want me to practice with you, I'll be happy to practice with you."
I like that. I like that.
You know, it's taking, I think, bullying prevention starts on the from the inside of the child.
Yeah.
And building a strong belief in who they are,
yeah.
which allows them to stand up a lot stronger to be able to support other people who may need them.
I really, really love how you addressed your son about it and focused on, okay, what is it so great about you? Instead of saying, like you said, instead of saying what's wrong with you or why, you know, you made him look at, almost reversed it where he, like, feels sorry for the bully.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of imploding and taking it in and saying what's wrong with me or whatever, you kind of switched it. And I think that is a very, very great technique to get the child not to, you know, go off to themselves and start feeling like, okay, what's wrong with me? So I really love your approach to that. My question is, you know, it's hard to build something that you haven't built before.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of parents who may want high self-esteem for their children, but they struggle with, you know, their own self-worth. So what do you suggest parents do to build their own self-esteem and at the same time building their child's?
I love that question, Yvonne. That was the one thing that struck me first about writing the book the way I did. Because there are so many parents out there who, just like you said, are projecting their own fears and negative beliefs onto their children.
Uh-huh.
And not realizing that by doing so, they're raising victims and
yeah.
they're raising doubters. And for me personally, I came through some pretty serious depression and anxiety before I became a dream coach. I went through that process. And it was so transformational for me that I decided that I needed to do this for other people.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful things for me personally through that whole process was to keep a gratitude journal. And I was a person who said, I'm not going to journal. That takes too much time. It's foo-foo. I kept a diary when I was a teenager. You know, that's stuff kids do. But what I started doing was writing down every day before I went to bed 10 things that I was grateful for that day. And when we focus on the positive in our life, we start to see more of it.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
So I had to fix me first. And then once I got the strength, once I developed the strength and the appreciation for my life, and I could see the value that I bring to the world and the greatness and everything around me, then taking my kids through that process, and being able to say to them, okay, what does integrity mean to you? And then having to tell them what integrity means to me, we're going through the process and taking ourselves through the process at the same time that we're taking our kids through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so when we're talking to our kids about something as important as accountability, you know, I may not be responsible for everything that happens to me, but I am responsible for my reaction to it. And my
yeah.
reaction creates my results, right?
Right.
I can't teach that lesson unless I've read it myself.
Right.
So
right.
to go through every day and follow those journal prompts and say, you know, this is what accountability means to me, or these are three gifts that I think I bring to the world, and to say that to my kids, and then allow your kids to tell you what they think is great about you. Because when someone else is feeding to you what you fail to see in yourself,
yeah.
it illuminates you.
Yeah.
And it strengthens you too.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, a lot of parents don't, you know, they're I'm going to just give some parents the benefit of the doubt. For some, they may not be aware that they are subconsciously damaging their kids' self-esteem. So could you give us maybe one or two examples of how the parent, you know, how the parent could be damaging their child's self-esteem?
Oh, there's so many that I see, and there's different degrees of it. Some of the simple things that we do that we don't even realize are damaging to our children are when our child makes a mistake, well, first of all, not allowing our children to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one. You know, if we're constantly cleaning up their mistakes before they even make them, they're never experiencing how what they do affects the world around them.
Right.
And I think one of the other things that we do is when our children do make mistakes, we immediately relate to them as if they're adults. And we say things like, that's common sense. How can you not know that that was a stupid thing to do?
Yeah.
Or what's wrong with you? When we say things, when we put an open-ended question like what's wrong with you out to a child, they're going to start evaluating what might be wrong with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, simple phrasing like that, I think we need to really step back and say, what was my child's real intention here? So
mm-hmm.
instead of putting out an open-ended question like what's wrong with you or what were you thinking or, you know, how could you have been so stupid, to say something like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Or I don't understand your motive behind that. Tell me what happened first.
Uh-huh.
And oftentimes, like, you know, perfect example is, you know, our child, we walk into the kitchen and we see red food coloring all over the place and paper scraps everywhere and glue on the desk. And we immediately get infuriated, and we say something like, well, look at this mess. This is ridiculous. Now I have to clean this up. I can't believe how thoughtless you were to have our child turn around and hand us a Valentine that they made.
Yeah.
You know, if we
yeah.
just stop and evaluate and say, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. And calm yeah. down first.
Exactly.
Calm down
Take
first.
A deep breath.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens, okay, let's say the parent have been doing that and they don't realize how they have damaged their child's self-esteem. What can parents do or loved ones do to rebuild their child's confidence? Where do they go from there?
One of my favorite things to do is to, it's our 25 things I love about you. And it's basic, it's as simple as taking a piece of paper and writing down on that piece of paper 25 things that you love, admire, or respect about that other person. And then cut it up into 25 strips and put it into a box or a bag or something and have them take one out every day and read it in the morning. It's the first thing they read when they wake up in the morning. And when we realize that there are things about us that are lovable and respectable and admirable, it
uh-huh.
gives us motivation and it softens us to the other person.
Yeah. And if they can't read, make a habit of read it to them. Yeah.
Absolutely, read it to them. And the other thing that I think is really important that we don't give ourselves permission to do enough as parents is to simply say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sorry that I've been doing this for so long and I just realized what I was doing, and I'm committed to making a change.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something applaudable for if any parent, because often we don't, well, I do, but often, you know, well, initially I didn't, but often we don't want to admit when we're wrong to our children because we're trying to show them, you know, or we're trying to be the super person in their lives, and we know we have all the answers, we do everything right, you know, you just do as I say, you know, and
mm-hmm.
And I think that is, we do have to realize that our children are human, and so are we, and to have that connection with them, because they, the person that they ultimately look for their value from is their parent.
Absolutely.
So I love that idea too, and I'm gonna start doing that too. Put a box and put different affirmations, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And put different affirmations in there and pull them out every day. I like that. Now there's, what are some things that, and I think you just pointed out some things that you know, we can do at home and all that, but when do we get to the point, when is there a specific point we get to where we say, okay, now we need to, you know, seek professional counseling for, you know, for ourselves or for our child? At what point do we start seeking help?
I think if you have gotten to the point where you feel that, well, you start to get reports back from the school. If we're seeing grades drop, if we're seeing our children acting out secretive behavior. So, I mean, if you give your child a journal and you walk into their room when they're not there and you read through that journal and you start to see things that are like pictures that are frightening, or, you know, if they're old enough to write, if they're writing things that are, you know, just completely scary to you, there's nothing wrong, and it's never too soon to seek out a play therapist or a counselor that you can just go to as a family and just talk with. I think that guidance and therapy have become so taboo in our society, but the fact of the matter is we take classes for anything that we want to master in life. Why wouldn't we offer that same thing to our children to make ourselves the best parents that we can possibly be?
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. Before we go, what advice would you like to leave parents, especially parents with children with special needs? What advice would you like to leave with us?
I think the most powerful advice I can give is to realize that we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
And that no one has gotten parenting so right yet that it's perfected. And there are absolutely things that you are doing that are working and that are that your children are thrilled about. And you need to be able to give yourself credit for those things and focus on those things that are working and give yourself permission to bless and release those things that aren't.
Wow. Where can people go online to connect with you?
My website is StopRaisingEinstein.com, and the best way to connect with us is on our Stop Raising Einstein Facebook page.
And that is?
It's Facebook.com/StopRaisingEinstein.
Okay.
Yeah, it's we
and
have
the
a
website
very
is StopRaisingEinstein.com.
.com. Yeah, okay. We have a very active community on the Facebook page, and you know, it's very humorous and very lighthearted and very accepting, and we're a no judgment zone. So, we encourage anybody to visit there with their questions, comments, or concerns.
Tara Kennedy Klein, thank you so much. I wish you the best with your book, your radio show, and all current and future projects. And I want it was such a pleasure having you on the show, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Yvonne.
Thank you. Tuesday, April 2nd, tune in at 1 p.m., for part 4 of the Enough series, which is Bullying Starts and Stops at Home with Dr. Nancy Buck. Help us get this word out about the campaign and visit our website, as I mentioned before, and I'll mention again, it is enough, E-N-U-F, .silentvoices.com, and like and share the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/esilentvoice. Have a good day today. Have a good Friday tomorrow, and have a happy Easter weekend. Thank you.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest,
or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
No.